You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what you do and how you do it. Help us, even now, that we might come to grips with all that took place yesterday, that we might have the benefit even in this hour. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. If you can, you would recall and keep in mind that we are in time. Time had a beginning, Genesis 1. It has an ending, Genesis 20. Wow. And time, beginning and an ending, is in the middle of eternity, timelessness. Now you need that, I think, to understand, we're looking at time. I want to go into time from eternity. I want to come from eternity into time. And we've been doing it just to remind you. Now, God, in his wonderful person, is glorious. God, in his wonderful person, expresses his glory. There's no other person, no other God, no other Savior, no other Creator. He's the only one. So if anything is to be found in God, by God, for God, God's going to have to do it. Now God, we can't even imagine, it's going to take God's wonderful forever for us to be able to understand God's glorious person. And there is no more time, and we have forever to enjoy and to discover the marvelous person of God. So God, if it's going to take forever, it is. There is no more time, no. Now God, you have a wonderful plan, and you determined before you created angels and everything, you determined that your Son, the Lamb of God, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you determined, God the Son was willing to wonderfully, wonderfully give himself to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is before anything or anyone. Now, so God, you then proceed with angels as we share together, and your awesome person, being nature, does what it does, creating angels. Angels, remember, among many things they are created for, the main one of which, I think, would be to be a wonderful, wonderful way for God to receive his glory and honor. As angels are able to, spirit beings, able to enjoy and God in his magnificence. Now, and angels need, that's their assignment. Now God, in that assignment, God allowed Lucifer, son of the morning, to sin, and all the angels, etc. Now, having said that, now God, and then the issues come up of judgment and righteousness and mercy and justice, and all of those words that, apart from Lucifer, son of the morning, falling, sin, Satan, apart from their discussion, their debate about it, You would never see them. So God, you know all this, God. You wouldn't even start something that you didn't have a wonderful grand conclusion in the purpose of it, in the fulfillment of it. So God, you, before you do anything, you're going to go and die on the cross. But there is no cross. But you're going to do that. So you know in Genesis 1:1, you're going to create, Genesis 1:26, 27, you're going to create man, us, in your image and likeness. We aren't like dogs or pigeons or anything else. We're persons. Able to know you in a unique and wonderful way. Now, so in the process of that, we are able to go, and you're going to show, you have a wonderful plan, involves your son. And Genesis 3:15, we shared together that Christ is good, that Adam and Eve, first ones on the scene, Adam and Eve sinned, and what do they discover about the God that they've been enjoying? They understand in their sin, in their nakedness, in their hiding, in their need for recovery, God has provided before anything, anyone, a wonderful, wonderful Savior, Genesis 3:15, and the seed of the woman. Now, and the seed of the serpent. Now, in the process of that, time goes on, and Adam and Eve believed God, Cain did not, humans did not. And God, you evidence so many wonderful things about yourself, inch by inch, as to turn the pages of history, and you discover God's humans doing what they do, God's plan and purpose being communicated so that anyone, boy or girl, man or woman, could come to know the Lord as their Savior if they wanted to. And history moves along down the corridor of time and Israel and all of that. Now, out of all of that, we're told, God told you at the beginning, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, there's going to be a babe born in Bethlehem of Judea. And that babe is going to be called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because it's the plan. The plan. And before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God is slain. So now, here's history, church history. Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea. And here he is. He raises up. And in the process, who's paying attention? We don't have any information, very, very, very scant, little information about who he is and what he's done. Age 12 and all of that. But when he's ready, he steps out from the carpenter shop. He steps out, as it were, for his ministry. John chapter 1, we're looking at. Now, John the Baptist, remember, his responsibility in Isaiah 40 and all that, his responsibility is to point out and proceed and be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's behind him. And that's what he does. Now hang on. You'll notice in the Gospel of John is given, the last living apostle, the Apostle John, is going to write in the light of all 66 books of the Bible, as it were, lining up, he's going to write the Gospel of John to tell us about God. And that's what it's all. Here's eternity and God. And here's time. Now, God, why did time ever exist? Why make time? It's here and there, and then it's all gone. There is no more time. Why do it? He has a wonderful plan. Now, so therefore, in the Gospel of John, it's all about God, and that's this whole 21 chapters purpose. So when we come to verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made that was made. Verse 14, God the Son, going to become born in Bethlehem of Judea, Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full grace and truth. So He's going to, God, the God-man, God prepares a perfect body, perfect human being, to merge incarnation, for the incarnation, for God to be able to have a oneness with God, perfect man in one person. Why? To be a Savior. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 21, John, the apostle John the Baptist, what are you going to say about this one who's following you? Well, don't you know it's coming from out of eternity? Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's way back in eternity, right? You want to know who he is? No one's paying attention. History moves along as if there was no God sometime. But here it is, God. It's all about you doing what you do, and no one else can do what you do except you. Now, in the light of that, we shared together in Matthew. Don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. If you're turning there, I'll go there. Just this one thing I want you to note. Matthew chapter 21. We did it last time, but just note. Chapter 21, picking up if I can, and in verse 10, remember, and whom, remember, this is the crowd now, and this is a big, wonderful event. Why didn't God ever do this? Why didn't God let it be known, and all the society that lived, all the people that lived, pay attention? Why didn't he ever do it? It wasn't the time. It wasn't the time. But now it's the hour. It's the week. Coming up hours, he's going to be crucified. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He's going to come into the city. How comes he? God, you're excited. That's right. You're excited. I am. Thank God. Wow. He was. Now, and God, you enter the city. And he's coming in as king. We shared all this together last time. And they wanted to make him king on their terms. But he was already king. He was God. He's the king. The kingdom of God. He's the king. God made him king. We people don't make him king. God did. And God said, listen, it's the wonderful event that I have in mind before anything, and he's coming in to do it. It's his time. My time, said God. His time to come into that city. And if all the hoopla and all the noise of over 2 million people, if all of that doesn't take place, the very stones would cry out. The leaves would jump for joy that you threw in the ground. If you don't honor him, recognize, I want you to make a lot of wonderful hallelujah. I want you to make wonderful. I'm coming. You don't understand it, but you will. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, God's going to do it, and his wonderful, wonderful coming. And he's going to do it, why? In order to what? To go to the cross. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And now what do we know? What he has to be slain, and we shared that all together on Wednesday. Why? Because in Adam's fall, we sinneth all, Romans 5:12, and we're all born dead in sin. We're all disconnected from God. We aren't connected. We're connected to earth, and our body, and planet earth, but we aren't connected to God. We're born dead, spiritually dead. Now God, the Lamb of God, remember back in eternity, the Lamb of God slain. He has to be killed. He has to be crucified. He has to be. So, what are we looking for? God, he's entering the city, and he has to be crucified for the sin of the world. Why? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's why. He has to die. It was the plan. It's God's glorious plan that he die. And we share together in John 13 and all of that. The wonderful, wonderful things. In fact, I'll have you do that again simply. It's needed. John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, recall, you could note it. John chapter 13, verse 13. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And, verse 32, if God be glorified in him, and he is, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." Where? He's going to the cross. That's right. You're a glorious God, and you're going to demonstrate you're a glorious God. How are you going to demonstrate your glorious God? In your own self, in your own person. In your own person, you're going to demonstrate your wonderful character, being, nature, mercy, everything. You're going to demonstrate it. "I am," said God. And he goes to the cross. Wow. Now, in the process of that, he had to die. Now over to Matthew 27. And you would recall verse 45. Now, from that sixth hour there was darkness upon all the land until the ninth hour. We did all that Wednesday. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And we share that. To be abandoned, to be left in the lurch, to be left hanging on the cross. In his wonderful humanity, on hanging on the cross, he had to face death. And worthy of repetition, remember what we tried to share on Wednesday. You have to understand what God did. God is God, and death, spiritual death, is without God. And Christ entered into understanding, experiencing spiritual death. And the best way, a way, is if I could say to you, I'm going to take away all of your senses, eyesight, taste buds, hearing, every aspect of your being, even your mobility, and you will be stopped stone as a stone. You can do nothing, hear nothing, understand nothing. And that you can right now, well, I took that all away from you. What do you think of that? We did it Wednesday. If I took that all away, is that awesome for you? That's awful awesome, if you think about it, to take it all away and leave you here, unable to relate in any way to what's going on. God did that. God judged his son. The wages of sin is death. Why hast thou forsaken me? You have left me apart from you, apart from your grace and your glory and your goodness, your holiness, your marvelous person. How do we understand that? We don't. The best way is going to be when we get, if you're saved, and get there. And if you aren't saved, you're going to get there another place. But you're going to know. You're going to know what Christ did in those 3 hours. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't imagine. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now God, all of that is true. No life, no light, darkness, lostness, being lost, as we shared. no love, the absence of God. Wow. Now, over, if you would please, to Peter, 1 Peter 3. And I want to add this to you. You won't understand. I want you to get to where the resurrection pops out, so you see it from his eternity and his time. And you need to understand what you're celebrating, what you're remembering on this, the Lord's Day. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Why? That we might, 2 and 24, that being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. The word healed, like in Isaiah 53, it means to take something and mend it together. Something that's a part to bring it together, like we did in Sunday school. What is a relationship? What does the word relationship mean? How does that come together? So, to bring something back together, to mend it together. God, what did you do? You're going to go to the cross and bear our sin in your own body on the tree. That's what you're going to do in an awesome, awesome way. Now, God, now you're going to do that, and you did that. Now, what? I'm going to go look down. I'm looking. Here's the Lord on the cross. I'm looking down now. Here's the people scattered all over. Now, what should they have known? Over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And you will notice, he said, verse 21, directly for time's sake, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, M-U-S-T, must go into Jerusalem and to suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Wow. Did anyone got to pay attention? He told them what he was going to do. He told them. Over if you go, Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. He told them. And he rises again. And you will note, may I start in verse 4. And it came to pass, this is the resurrection. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when you were yet in Galilee. Do you guys remember what he said? Matthew 16, 23. He told you, I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again the third day. Remember I told you what was going to happen? Is anyone paying attention? No, but God is. God is. It's God's thing. Us humans are down here bumbling around. It's God's wonderful thing. And angels, you guys, all right? The angels, I mean, I got to tell you, you got it all. It's us down here, locked on. We miss it. Ah, verse 24, of verse 7, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of such men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And verse 8, and they remembered his words. Well, what God had, they remember, but they really didn't remember, because I can't go into that at the moment. They remember, but they didn't remember. Over to John chapter 20. And before you do John chapter 20, go to the chapter 19, just ahead of it. Chapter 19. Remember now, Christ crucified, pays the price for our sin, and does all of these wonderful things for us in that we can't even comprehend. And so I'm going to slide down when he's finished, 3 o'clock, and all over. Time, he already suffered in the darkness and the and the forsaken and everything. And God, the perfect man, our Lord Jesus Christ, what did you discover? What did you learn? What do we need to understand? Verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I was born in Bethlehem, Judea, to die. The lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. I was born for this event. This is the event of all events, of all events. This is the event that God has chosen to glorify himself forever. Hang on. Wow, that's right. It's finished. Now, John chapter 20. And they bury him and all of that kind of thing. And you will recall in John chapter 20, and they all come to the tomb the third day. What are they doing? They're coming to prepare him. They haven't had time to do it because of boom, boom, he had to bury him because of the Sabbath day. So there's no time to fix the body. So now we got to come, and they're coming to fix the body, the normal spices and everything, to do it. Wow. And they come, and there, here's the Roman guard and the Jewish guard and everybody else. Wow. And the stones are all the way, and there's no guards. They're all gone. Mm-hmm. No stones, no big 8,000, big round stone. 8,000 pounds was the rough guess. So rolled away. And so they get there. And Peter and Mary and all of them, they get there. Now, picking up, if I can, chapter 20, in verse 4. So they ran both together, to John and Peter. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. That's John. And he, stooping down, looked in and saw the linen clothes lying, and yet went he not in. He didn't go in. But Peter, verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but neatly wrapped, rolled up together in a place by itself. Now, before we do that, I want you to go back in your memory to John, if you would, the Gospel of John, and chapter 11. And you'll recall, just not many days ago, God raised Lazarus from the dead. And you want to pick up the thought, if you would, when he raised him up. And Lazarus had been in the tomb. They said, "He stinketh, it's the fourth day," or whatever. And so the Lord, picking up, he said, remember, they were all crying and weeping, and Jesus wept, verse 35. He said, "What are you doing? You don't understand. Lazarus dying is no issue. What are you making his death an issue for? It isn't about being in the physical body. It's about being with me. It isn't about the body." So you made a big thing about that. You didn't have to do that. But God's going to help him. And therefore, verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth," and here's the come out of the grave. And he that was dead, Lazarus, came forth bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, "Loose him and let him go." So if you can just imagine, try to use your mind, memory, imagination. Here he is, coming out, Lazarus, coming out like a mummy. He's all wrapped up in linen clothes. All wrapped up, and his face is all wrapped. Wow. And he comes out, they're out. And now they had to unwrap him. You got that part? Now, back over to John chapter 20. What are we going to do? They just had that illustration. Now, what are you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to do something wonderful, and I'm going to show them. Show them. I want you to come. On the third day, I told you I'd rise again. So therefore, when you come in, Peter, John saw it, Peter, what did you say, Peter? Well, I saw the body all wrapped, we wrapped it. And we put the napkin, the handkerchief, over his face, which was this what they did. That's how they did that, laid it across. I can't. Think of linen clothes, all stretched out, and his face covered, laying down on a slab of stone or whatever. Laying down. So when they come in, what do they say? They saw the body neatly there, the wrapping, but no body. The wrapping wasn't touched. Except what? The face cloth. And the face cloth on the head was taken off. Here's the body, no one's touching it. We take off the face, the sweat, the handkerchief, face cloth. We take that off, and we go over here, and we roll it up neatly, fold it up neatly like in a towel, and we put it down. Now, so when you come in, someone took the body. No one touched the body. I stepped out of the body, and to help you understand, I took the napkin, and I neatly folded it and put it over here. So here's the body, and here's the napkin. Undisturbed, neatly done. It couldn't have been more peaceful and wonderful. No one came in and grabbed the body like Lazarus and took it out. No, they didn't. I just left it. And I want to leave you the evidence. An empty tomb, an empty body. And there's the napkin. The napkin's just sort of a little sidelight. God said, let me illustrate. God said, I think I'll take the napkin and lay it right over here. And that's what he did. I told you the third day I'd rise again. Wow. Now, so here we are looking at God in all of your wonderful, wonderful working. God, that you did. Now, having said this little bit, and keeping that in mind, back over to Luke chapter 24. Luke in chapter 24. And you will note, after the resurrection, it was an empty tomb, God, and you already told them, that's right. Now, God's excited. It's a wonderful thing. God's glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, is back where he should be. Chapter 24, verse 45. Verse 45. And if we can. Picking up, please. Then opened he, let me do that a little differently. Go back over to verse 25, yep. Then 24, 25. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets and this which have spoken. I told you all the centuries. I told you what was going to happen, but you didn't listen. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Over to verse 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, yet that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. It's all about me. I'm the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus, as it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. Wow. Do you understand? God said, listen, I had to do it. I told you I had to do it. I told you that's what it was all about. That's why Israel, that's why Judah, that's why Virgin Mary, that's why. I told you. From the foundation out of eternity. I told you what was going to happen. I told them why it was going to happen. Oh, we're trying to figure out in the world in turmoil and commotion who's going to be the king and who's the top dog, which power, China, Russia, Vietnam, all of them, line up, all the countries. Wow. God, we aren't paying attention. You're out working your wonderful plan, centered in the person of Jesus Christ, who was crucified. And it's all based, all possible, because he died. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Without it, nothing. So God, here we are looking, God, and we're looking in Acts chapter 2. Paul, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, what are you going to say? What are you going to say, Peter? Chapter 2, picking up, please. Verse 22. Chapter 2, 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being crucified, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden by it. There's no way God can die except when he united himself with the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. And that was just for what? To fulfill God the Son's wonderful plan to die. And he couldn't die without having a human body, because we're all humans and we're all in the line of Adam. Wow. Now, God, you did that. I did. Now, picking up, if you can, here we are. Now, God, well, you're here in Acts, over to chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. What are you going to say again to us? Well, in the light of it, here's Athens, to the Athenians, etc. Verse 31, 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day, God, in which he will judge the world in righteousness. How? By that man which he hath ordained. Born, purpose before the foundation of the world. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all of us, all men, in that he raised him from the dead. But we have an empty tomb. That's right. And that's what it's about. If we didn't have that, died, crucified, buried. But God, it isn't that. So what are you going to do to get our attention? And it's unanswerable. How do you answer? Rome couldn't do it. The Jews can't do it. No one can do it. They can write books of Quo Vadis and all different things to try to go and answer. How do you answer it? There is no answer. He rose just like he said he would. Period. Now, therefore, here we are for us. God, you're going to judge everyone by him? I absolutely am. Now, in closing, would you go over with me, please? Oh, to Romans chapter 4. All of the wonderful, the gospel, the good news, all of it is because he rose. We can read all these verses and we can read all these truths and read the God's word, the Bible, because he rose again from the grave. All these scriptures are given about him. Who is the him? It's the one who is risen from the grave. the empty tomb. So you want to know why the Bible? It's all about me. You won't understand it until you understand that I determined before the foundation of the world to die so that you could live, so that you could honor me in a way that was utterly impossible until I rose again. Chapter 4, Romans, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Justification declared righteous. Why did you rise? Because until I rise, I told you, the crucifixion just pays the penalty. No, it has to be. No, God, it has to be more than that. You betcha. You bet. And that's why he rose. We arose. To what? To be able to deal with us. Because the sin question for every human being, including Adam and Eve, has been answered. So anyone, right now, we're in his presence. That's why you can come to God and God will get to you in the person of Jesus Christ. Simply because it's made possible. It's wonderful. Well, I don't see God. You don't need to see God. You just know God is. In the beginning, God. If you want to do it without me, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently search him out. Absolutely. Now, God, that's why it's all true. That's why we meet Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and all of that. Why we read our Bible. Why? Because it's true. It can happen. What it says. Oh, you hear Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. I'll read verse 33. 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies us. We just read it in Romans 4. God, how did you justify us? By rising again. You paid the penalty and you offered your righteous person to be our righteousness. Christ, our righteousness, a person. You made that possible. That's right. Therefore, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Who's got, well, you don't like it. It doesn't matter whether you like it or you don't like it. It's God's way. God's going to do what he's going to do. And people can yell and have banners and crusades and mockery and blasphemy or whatever you want to do. People do. Won't make any difference. Everyone that has tried it on the face of the earth, all the way down from Cain, Adam and Cain, all the way down, they all are turned to dust. They are dust. They go back to dust. And all of the opponents are gone. And all of the threats and all of the everything is gone. And God remains. And here we are, our turn on planet Earth. Now, verse 34, again. It is Christ ye that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. God, what a wonderful thing. Now, therefore, as you read earlier, or heard it, over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you know it. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior. Wow. Romans 10 and verse 9. What that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Not his crucifixion. It's his resurrection. His crucifixion made possible all the benefits. And if you're looking at his crucifixion, you have a crucified Savior with little or no hope, or no help. Think of 1 Corinthians 15. We are of all men most miserable if he hasn't risen. It's the whole point. God, how can you offer us anything? Because I'm not dead. I'm alive, here and now. So therefore, we believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Where do we get the righteousness? It's in God. Where do we get the life? It's in God. What good news is there? What good news? I want you to think of your little world you live in, and you have a little world you live in, and it's growing, you're wherever you live in your world, your job, or home, or school, growing up, whatever you're doing. Here's your little world, here it is, now God. Now, in the little world you live in, how many spots can you go around and find a lot of hope and help and good news? Look all around. You're looking all around. Look all around. I'm trying to look. Now, God, that's hard, isn't it? And then when you see it's good, boom, it isn't good anymore. Now, God, what'd you tell me? The good news. You're the good news. The gospel. According, you died according to the scriptures. You're buried according to the scriptures. You rise again according to the scriptures. So what? So that you can know a wonderful newness of life with me. It's about eternal life. And that's what we try to tackle in Sunday school. What does it have? What can we have? What is eternal life? And you can't have any of that if he doesn't rise again from the grave. And he rose. So all of that's true. All we got to do is appropriate it as believers. Wow. Thank you for your patience. It's an awesome thing. An empty tomb. So you don't have an empty heart. Okay. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and mercy, and thank you for everything, God. How are we going to understand all this? We aren't. All we can do is enter in and experience and exercise and enjoy being, knowing you as our Lord and Savior, God, so that we're going to have a little better commitment, a little better position where we're going to look to you, God, that the life we now live in the flesh is your life. And you've made it all possible for us to be able to be called children, yours, sons, yours, brethren, yours, God. You made all of that possible, God. You made it, Father, so that we can say it, Abba, Father. That's what you want. You demand it, Spirit of God, that we would honor you in the unique, awesome thing that you've done in making it possible for us to have a saving, solid, safe relationship to you, the most holy, most heavenly God. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.